Is everyone doing okay tonight? I hope you are. I'll try not to keep you real late. I'm just going to give you a couple of insights. I'm doing a teaching on Acts 20, and actually the book of Acts. I'm on the 20th chapter, so that means there has been 20 teachings out of the book of Acts. I've got 8 more to go to complete it. I thought maybe I could get it done by the end of the year, but guess what? I'm not going to make it. But every chapter has been a real prophetic challenge to me. And I want you to know that I've approached this not just thematically or topically, but I've tried to extract what I believe the Holy Spirit is saying to the church today. And again, in Acts chapter 20, you'll see that as we begin looking at the scripture. So if you have a Bible out or your iPad or your telephone or your screen or whatever you're going to do to look at it, let's go to Acts 20, verses 22 to 24. Acts 20, 22 to 24. Paul is beginning to speak, and he's giving testimony. He says this, "See now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." We witness a number of significant encounters in this chapter. I understand those that might be in our midst or brothers and sisters who would look at this chapter differently theologically. And yet, I have to say, it's clear in the scripture what I'm about to present to you. An insight before we get any further out of verse number 7. Do you have Acts 20 and verse 7? Can you put that up? Is there a way that you can do that for me? Because these significant encounters in this chapter speak to a structure or to a format that I think is important to consider. Just for a minute. Give me a minute on it. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. Now, if you think with me, Acts chapter 2, verses 40 to 47. It is the manifestation, 40 to 47, of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost that birthed the first expression of the church. Again, now in verse 7, they pick up with this same habit that the Holy Spirit had birthed. And that is their meeting on the first day of the week. Why is that significant? Because we're in a transition period in Acts 20 from Old Covenant into New Covenant. Understand that the Jews in the book of Acts had always followed the law of Moses. They had kept the Sabbath, which was Saturday. Now, Paul gets this revelation, and he meets on the first day of the week. They come together to break bread, as is our habit. We meet on Sunday, the first day of the week. And he begins to preach and speak to them, and he's preaching a long sermon. It goes all the way to midnight. Now, I don't want to bore you with the details, but a young man was sitting there listening to the preacher preach and got a little sleepy-eyed because he had been up early. Before sunrise, he was at Fox 8 in the morning singing. And he fell out of the window. Do you know this story? And he died. He's out on the ground, dead. And what does Paul do? He interrupts his sermon, he said, "I'll be right back." And he goes out there, lays hands on him, raises him up, brings him back, sets him back down, says, "Now pay attention," and keeps preaching. Now that's a great story, but it speaks a little more significantly than just a miracle or just a healing or just someone being raised from the dead. I believe Acts chapter 20 is introducing the church in the transitional period from Old Covenant into New Covenant. And it's also introducing us to two basic truths that help us understand the difference between New Testament and Old Testament. The first being the resurrection from the dead. Jesus was raised from the dead. Now that's important for us to know. And then also, the power of the Holy Spirit was given. Those are two qualifying factors that birth us into the understanding of the New Testament. Now, let me just kind of get into that for a little bit, because it's a prophetic thing. The sheaf of the first fruits were to be waved before the Lord, specifically in the Bible in Leviticus. But I want you to notice something that's very important in this chapter. Leviticus 23, verses 9 to 14. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you, and you reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. And you will wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf." Now watch this. This is really cool. On the day when? Say it with me. On the day where? Now that's significant to understand in correlation to verse 7 and also chapter 20 of the introduction and the transition from Old Testament to New Testament and the young man falling out of the window and dying. It all speaks to a prophetic turn for the church. To understand that this sheaf is supposed to be presented not on the Sabbath, but on the morrow of the Sabbath or on the day after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it, and you shall offer it on that day when you wave the sheaf, a male of the lamb of the first year without blemish as a burnt offering to the Lord. It's grain offering, and Nicholas continues and tells us about that offering. Paul interprets the sheaf of the first fruits as the resurrected Christ before God, who was raised when? Not on the Sabbath, but on the day after the Sabbath, to fulfill the prophetic unction of Leviticus 23 of the first fruits. Why? Because we read in 1 Corinthians 15, 20 and 23, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become what? The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So Christ was not raised on the Sabbath. There are those that would contend and assert that we should observe the Sabbath even as New Testament Christians. And I would have to say to them that is not true, because it is a change in covenant, not out of keeping of the Sabbath, which was the rest or the representation of the law, but rather in the resurrected life of Christ, which Leviticus prophesied to in chapter 23 about the first fruits being waved on the day after the Sabbath, Paul identifying Christ as the first fruits from the dead being presented to the Father on when? The day after the Sabbath. So he introduces to us why we celebrate Resurrection Day. We really ought to change the name of S-U-N-D-A-Y to Resurrection Day. The first day of the week is the day of resurrection. It is all that we build upon. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I understand now that I do not present my members as weapons of unrighteousness, but weapons of righteousness. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. So we see then, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ's at his coming. Now, as also in Matthew 28 and verse 1, Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. It was known as the day of resurrection. It was the day after the Sabbath. Now, there's another really important point in this, and that is the giving of the Holy Spirit. Because the Feast of Pentecost and the presentation of the two wave loaves took place 50 days after the waving of the sheaf of the first fruits. So Pentecost was 50 days after the waving of the sheaf of the first fruits, which we interpret as Christ being the first fruits who was raised on the day after the Sabbath, the resurrection day. So the Sabbath, this was seven Sabbaths, or seven times seven, which was 49. And then the 50th day was the morrow after, or the day after the Sabbath. So in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were in accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the first feast of the day, feast day of Pentecost, was the 50th day after the resurrection of Christ. So here's the two most foundational, important truths of a New Testament believer. Number one is the resurrection of the Son of God. You and I live in the resurrected life of Christ. Two is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You and I live in the immersion of the presence of the Holy Spirit. So we must recognize ourselves dead to sin and alive unto God through Christ. The life I live now is a resurrected life. Romans chapter 6, I was buried with Christ and I've been raised in newness of life. So I identify with the resurrected life of Christ, that now I have all authority, I have all dominion, I have all power because of the resurrection of Christ. Death no longer can hold me. Sin no longer has dominion over me because I have been raised with Christ. Also, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So the Sabbath rest is found in Christ and in the immersion of the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of us like to say the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm saying immersion is the same word, but I'm using it because we have these traditional definitions of what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. It is when a person has an encounter that causes them to speak in a language that they do not know. I am one that would contend that people may have that experience, but outside and apart from the resurrected life of Christ and also the immersion of the Spirit of God. What this experience was all about in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was to take a man like Peter, who denied Christ, cursed Christ, warmed himself by the fire, associated with those who had rejected Christ, and take him and immerse him in the Spirit and stand up on Acts chapter 2, verse 14, and get revelation of Scripture where he is able to say, this is that. And that's important because, you see, the immersion of the Holy Spirit will help you to identify God's written word. He will search the depths of God. He will take the deep things of the Lord and he will identify or connect you with that word. It's called revelation. So now the immersion of the Holy Spirit is that he is guiding you. He is your advocate. He is comforting you. He is your defender. He is the one that's giving you revelation and light. And so now we're living a completely guided life by the Holy Spirit. He's my GPS. He is the one that's taking me where I need to go. Tell me what to sing. Tell me what to do. How I'm to respond. So we need to develop that conscious presence of the Holy Spirit. So this is what Paul is introducing through verse 7, the transition about the first day of the week. Acts 20 is all about this transition from and into. Now we have to be careful. I appreciate understanding the Jewish feasts. I believe it's interesting to study Hebrew and the culture. Jesus was a Jew. I get all that. But please do not throw me back into keeping the Sabbath or keeping the laws or I have to celebrate the feasts. You do not. You see, there was a transition from old to new. But you and I must immerse ourselves in the Holy Spirit. And we must walk in the resurrected life of Christ. Hallelujah. That is the New Testament. So here's what happens. Paul demonstrates this. He gives us five simple points of demonstration of these two foundational truths of the transition into the new covenant. I just want to share them with you tonight, okay? That was my introduction. That was a long introduction, wasn't it? Okay, can you handle five little things? I'll try to slip through them real quick. But look at Acts chapter 20, and I'm going to read a couple of verses. First, verse 32, then go back to 22 and 24 again. 32, he said, "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." So Paul now says it's the word of his grace that is going to introduce you to the entirety of all that God has planned for you. It doesn't mean you have to keep any law. You don't have to fulfill any obligation. All you have to do is have faith in Christ. The grace of God is going to instruct you into all the inheritance. But then this is what he says. See now, look at verse 22, please. See now, read this with me. I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there. Now that's very interesting, because Paul's saying, I'm going to fulfill my destiny bound to the Holy Spirit. The word bound means with a strong sense of responsibility, a conscious awareness. I wake up in the morning with an understanding that I am aware and responsible to walk with the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul was saying. I am bound to the Holy Spirit. He had eliminated all other choices in life. He learned to obligate himself to the Holy Spirit. I used this example recently, and it doesn't happen to me all the time, but I try to bind myself to the Holy Spirit, whether I'm pumping gas and I'm asking the Lord for a word of knowledge for somebody that's pumping gas on the other side, or somebody walking into the gas station to buy milk, or whether I went to order some food at a restaurant and a person came to me and I had this experience. I think I shared this with you. I don't know. But I said, "Man, how's your life going?" I felt that there was some trauma. I didn't know exactly what it was. He said, "Well, I just had brain surgery." I said, "Wow, man, that's amazing. God impressed upon me that your life has been difficult. I didn't know exactly what was going on." Yada, yada, yada. We ended up leading him to the Lord, investing in him. He's now my Facebook friend. I'm trying to disciple him from afar. But I was bound by the Holy Spirit. I was also hungry for spaghetti. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's a very real world with a very real personal relationship with the resurrected life of Christ and the Holy Ghost. So going to get spaghetti, watch out. I don't know what may happen. We may sling some sauce around here. You know what I'm saying? So that's what Paul's saying. I'm bound, I'm compelled by God's love to obey the Holy Spirit in all things. In other words, whatever you do, do it heartily, Colossians 3:23, as to the Lord and not to men. We have to learn to enter into a realm of being compelled. Into a realm of being compelled. Here's the word compelled. It means this: a force or a drive, especially to a course of action. So if I'm being compelled, I'm being directed into a particular course of action. I'm being forced to submit. I'm being subdued and overpowered. Yes, I'm going to get some spaghetti because I'm hungry, but I'm compelled by love to ask you, how's your life going? I was tired, I'm hungry, been up all day. I need something to eat, but I can't help myself. That's what Paul was saying. I am connected to the Holy Spirit. I'm bound to the Holy Spirit. Let's go on. Not knowing the things, this is verse 22, that will happen to me there, except the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Now that's an interesting thought. First of all, we're compelled by the Holy, compelled by love to obey the Holy Spirit. Number two, we're compelled by love to walk by faith. He didn't know what was going to happen to him, other than chains and tribulations awaited him. He knew chains and tribulations awaited him. But he said, because I'm bound to the Holy Spirit and compelled by love, I really don't know what's going to happen. So tell me, was his focus on chains and tribulations? Absolutely not. Because he knew chains and tribulations are no big deal when you're bound to the Holy Spirit and you're compelled by love. He knew that there was going to be opposition, there was going to be difficulty, there was going to be tribulation, there was going to be chains. But he said, I really don't know what's going to happen. And look at verse 24. You've got to get this. I want you to read it with me. Let's read the first part of that verse. Ready? But none of these things move me. I'm like blown away. You know there's chains and tribulations, and you're going, none of it moves me. Everybody's telling him not to go. You're going to go to prison. You're going to get bound. You're going to get killed. And he said, none of these things move me because I refuse to live under circumstances. Do you ever ask anybody, hey, how you doing? They go, well, under the circumstances, I'm not doing too bad. My question is, why are you under there? And that's what Paul said. None of these things move me. I refuse to live under circumstances because I walk by faith and not by sight. Number three, if you go back to verses 20, or the 24, that's good. Nor do I count my life dear to myself so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Now notice something he says. Not that I speak in Philippians 4. Not that I speak in regard to need. For I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all the things through Christ who strengthens me. He had learned something. He learned not to be moved by things that ordinarily move people who are not bound to the Holy Spirit. That's a secret in victorious Christian living. Amen. You don't have enough money at the end of your month. I'm not moved by these things. The doctor said, I'm not moved by these things. Did you hear what so-and-so said about you? I'm not moved by those things. You know what your future is going to be? I'm not moved by those things. Why? Because I'm not living under those circumstances. I'm not permitting them to rob my purpose and destiny in Christ. He knew he had an assignment in Jerusalem. He had to, from that suite in the jail, write an epistle. I'm not moved by the things around that assignment. That assignment is premier in my mind. You can tell people who are bound to the Holy Spirit because they see the higher purpose in life. They're not easily defeated, nor are they persuaded. If you tell them we're going to do this and God is speaking, they're like, count me in. I'm in on this. I can do this. Well, you know, you didn't have enough sleep. You don't have enough money. You don't have enough resources. People aren't supporting you. You may not have the knowledge. Like Paul, none of these things move me because I have connected to the power of the Holy Spirit and I'm walking in the resurrected life. These things only bear upon people who are outside of the new covenant. We can do this. We can build it. We can create it. We can compose it. We can achieve it. He said, I can do all things. He said, I can do all things. Did he say that? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So you got to get out of that under the circumstance mentality where people quit. I understand why you quit, because you're not bound to the Holy Spirit. Quitting is not an option. Diverting around Jerusalem is not an option. He cut all the options off. He's not moved by those things. Would you hear what they said about you? I don't care what they said about me. You know, sometimes people will get, like, you know, come to me like, Pastor, did you hear about so-and-so? They're leaving the church. I'm like, praise God, you know, whatever. There's a lot of good churches out there. Can you imagine the mayor of Valley View? And you've been a resident of Valley View for 10 years, and you've decided to move to Solon. So you move to Solon, and the mayor hears from one of the council members that you and your family moved from Valley View to Solon. Let me ask the question, what will that mayor say? nothing. You want to move? Move. Why do we let things move us and the Holy Spirit can't even nudge us? Do you follow what I'm saying? We've got it inverted. We've got all the natural things that move us, and yet covenant people, new covenant people, are to be walking in resurrected life and in the immersion of the Holy Spirit, and the natural things are like water and oil. They just don't stick. We're so anointed, it's like we get up in the morning and spray ourselves down with Pam. No stick anointing. You can't, and there's no Velcro here. You can't stick to me. I made a decision. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight, the old songwriter said. Number three, right? Yeah. So don't have to stay defeated, frustrated. Here's what we need to do in those moments when we're feeling like circumstances are falling in around us. Here's what we need to do. There was an old man. He went for a walk. He fell into an open grave. Now, I don't know if you've ever went into an open grave in the middle of the night in the graveyard, but it's not a fun place to be. We used to do that when I was a teenager. We used to play hide-and-go-seek in a graveyard. And we hid in graves. It's a weird place to hide. Most of them people won't come to find you there. They'll just let you hide there. But this man fell into this grave. And he tried to get out. Couldn't get out. Tried to scale that wall. Couldn't get out. So he gave up. He sat down on the end of the grave and thought, what am I going to do? Put his hand in his head in his hands. And he's just wringing his hands. And suddenly he hears this voice on the other side of the grave. And it said, there is no way out. I've tried. He was out of that grave in about 13 seconds. He didn't realize that an old drunk had fallen into that grave and was sitting on the other side. What made the difference? The hearing of the voice. Let me say this. You may be in a situation where you say, there is no way. I'm up against the wall. I don't know what I'm going to do. You may be like that old man that went for a walk and you've fallen into a rut. That's what a grave is, you know, a rut. I mean, a rut is, it's just a grave with two open ends. And there you are, down in the crevice, down into the sinkhole, and you can't get out. And all you need is a voice to speak to you, the voice of the Holy Spirit. And suddenly you will find a way of escape. Do you believe that tonight? I believe that tonight with all my heart. Number four, we are compelled by love to serve others. He says, neither do I count my life dear to myself. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Matthew 10:39, he who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake, he shall find it. Galatians 2:20, we've already mentioned it. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. The life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. It's like missionary James Calvert. Do you know missionary James Calvert was on his way to the Fiji Islands to preach the gospel? This is a true story. At that time on the Fiji Islands, they were cannibals. They would eat you. Everybody knew it. The captain of the ship said to missionary James Calvert, sir, do you understand? Do you realize you're going to lose your life if you go and preach among those savages? And missionary James Calvert looked at him and said, sir, I lost my life long before I boarded your vessel. I have none to lose. And he disembarked and went to preach the gospel, a major revival in the Fiji Islands. You see, you and I, bound to the Holy Spirit, live a different lifestyle. New covenant believers are totally different people. We are can-do people, all things through Christ who strengthens us. There is not one thing we don't believe is impossible with God. We're almost borderline arrogant. We get up in the morning and think, I'm going to do something great today. I really believe that with all my heart. Just like pouring out our lives for others. You could be like the priest who passed on the other side of the road to Jericho. You could be like the Levite who said, I don't have time for this. Or you could be like the Samaritan who said, you know, no, this is God. This inconvenience is a setup for the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. This man is bleeding. He's dying. He's been left and abandoned and robbed and beaten. And God has graced me to come by. And he poured into him oil and wine, paid for his care, promised to pay for any further care if needed. Why? Because he was compelled by love, driven by love. I have no choice but to do this. I can't think of any alternatives because I'm in a new covenant with God. Number five. Then he finally says, I'm compelled by love to finish the race of life. To finish my race with joy. If joy is slipping away from you, you've got to get back to an immersion of the Holy Spirit. It's not because your life has become boring or life has become hard or church has become mundane or your prayers are bouncing off the ceilings or you're just dry. No, no, no. You need another immersion of the Holy Spirit. Because Paul said, I'm going to finish this thing with joy. I'm going out with a smile on my face. I'm going out with the strength of the Lord. Now, in other words, obeying the will of God is the only thing that can produce true and lasting joy in our life. You know, I fully expect great grace every day of my life. Unmerited favor. Invitations. And it comes on the rails of God's genuine love. When I first thought about doing some kind of television outreach, commercials for the ministry, I forget what it was that we did. Oh, the Giving Tree thing or something. I met all these people. Account executives, news directors, you know, just their staff. And immediately upon meeting them, I had to begin assessing what my assignment was to them. It wasn't just getting spaghetti because I was hungry. There's a waiter coming to my table that could be assigned by God. My wife and I spent her 60th birthday on Maui. Don't hate me. Just say praise the Lord. But anyway, we were there. And we were watching an Hawaiian sunset. Sitting on a little bench. There's a pathway behind us. People walking back and forth. We had our backs to them, minding our own business. Talking, reminiscing, praying. And a skater dude comes up on a skateboard with a malt liquor open bottle of beer and skates right by us and says, what's up? And I said, man, nothing, just chilling. And he starts talking to me. He says, so what'd you do today? Happened to be a Sunday. I said, I went to church. He goes, oh. Do you think I'm a bad Christian because I don't go to church and I drink beer? I said, I don't know. What do you think God would say about that? I don't think you're a bad Christian. You probably just don't know what the Bible has to say, do you? What's your name? He said, my name is Christopher. I said, Christopher, do you know what your name means? My wife chimed in. It's the Anointed One. That's your name. Really? Yeah. He started telling us about his life. He ends up sitting down next to us. We're having this conversation. I'm thinking of the thousands of people that he could have sat next to. I said, Christopher, God loves you so much. He had you sit next to me. I'm not being arrogant. I'm bound to the Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Life is exciting. It's a chapter. It's a revealing. You just never know what's going to happen. And I can't tell you what he said, but we were talking about life and ministry and his potential. And, you know, I don't read my Bible, but I want to. And I started telling him how he could accomplish that. And he said, but he said, do you think your church would accept me if I'm drinking this stuff? And I said, I said, we'd accept you. He goes, do you want a drink? He offered me some of his malt liquor. He said, you want a drink? I said, no, I don't really want a drink. He goes, wow. He said, you really accept me? He said, man, you guys are S-H-I. That's what you are. Like that was a compliment. He called me crap, only used the S word. He said, whoops, I shouldn't be saying that to you, huh? You're a pastor. I said, look, I don't know if I'm supposed to take that as a compliment or not. But listen, Christian, God has a plan for your life. And he tells me about his father and leaving him and his mother. Doesn't know where she's at and living with grandma and feels alone. And he's working down at one of these hotels in an entry-level job and doesn't have any friends and doesn't really know what he's going to do tomorrow. And I'm thinking, God, I am compelled for those kind of circumstances and situations. And Paul said, chains and tribulations, I know about them, but they don't move me. Let me just say this. The new covenant will make you get your eyes off of yourself. Because there's not a person in here that doesn't have issues. You don't know what I'm going through. Welcome to the going through club. But things that are higher, things that are nobler, these are the things that have allured me. These are the things that I am striving for. Paul said this. Jesus said this. But what do you think? A man had two sons. One came to him first and said, son, I want you to go to work in my vineyard. He said, I will not. But afterward, he regretted and he went. Then he came to the second son and he said, I will go, sir. But he didn't go. Which of the two did the will of the father? He said, well, I think the first one. Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. What was he saying? He was saying this. It's what you do that counts, not what you say. And the finish line is before every one of us. It's how you finish, not how you start. I see most Christians cooling off, growing distant, when we really should be more connected and more empowered by God's presence and love. I told my kids, they kind of went today with Pastor Leon and the team. I said, you have to go in my stead because I'm going to be with April because that's where I want to be. So I stayed up in the hospital with her this morning I said, but don't forget, make sure you take everybody in the studio a gift. Find some books, find something, wrap it up, tell them Merry Christmas, thank you for having us. They said, oh, Dad, that's going to be kind of corny. They want a book. I said, it's not that point. The point is you are expressing your love for them. I don't care the grips, the camera people. Make sure you have enough for everybody. Don't forget anybody because that is the rail. Love is the rail that introduces them to the grace of God. You see why it's so important that we need to learn how to love? Love compels me, Paul said. What did he do? Five compellings. The fifth, or the last, to finish your race with joy. The fourth, to be compelled to serve others. The third, to be compelled not to be robbed by circumstances, but to fulfill your destiny. The second, to be compelled to walk by faith. And number one, to be compelled to obey the Holy Spirit in all things. Acts 20 is a transitional moment. My heart's prayer is that we as a church would transition into new covenant. I mean fully. Let's just jump in and do it. You want to? Let's just do it and see what God will do. in 2013. I got a feeling we're going to see some crazy in 2013. Come on, stand up on your feet. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you tonight that you are the God that compels us to love. And Lord, we don't want to be moved by the things we see, feel, hear, touch, experience. We don't want to be under the circumstance. But God, tonight, we want to move by the power of the Holy Spirit and the resurrected life of Christ. I pray for my friends tonight, God, no matter what they're going through, I'm not minimizing trouble. I know that trouble is real. But Father, you said in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. You have overcome. You have overcome. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, that any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Hallelujah. Old things are passing away. Behold, all things are becoming new. Thank you, Father. Lord, I don't care how insignificant it is. You showed us tonight in the ministry of the Holy Spirit during worship that just 2 fish and 5 loaves were enough. Let us hold on to whatever we can grasp, whether it's a hand, a cloud by the size of a man's hand, or whether it's just a couple of fish and loaves. God, we know that with you, that's enough. So we put our life and our times in your hands. With our heads bowed tonight, you say, hey, preacher, I'm here tonight, and I'm not really sure about my destiny, about my purpose, about my end. I'm not really sure why or where or how it happened, but along the way, I've not been very joyful about Jesus. Matter of fact, I've kind of walked away and drifted. I need to relight, refire, renew. Pray for me. Man, if that's you tonight, either you've never received Christ as your Savior or you need to recommit. Man, this is the right time and the place. God arranged it just for you. So nobody looking around, you'll say, hey, Pastor, I need that prayer. Would you just do something for me? Just to identify that need by a simple expression. Just lift your hand up high enough for me to see it and put it right back down. That's all you got to do. Just put it up there and then put it right back down all over this room. Every person who says, yeah, I need to recommit to Christ. Thanks. Thank you so much. You can put it down. Thank you, sweetheart. You can put it down. Thank you over there. God bless you. You can put it down. Thank you, sir. You can put it down. Anybody else tonight? You say, you know what, Pastor, you're right. I don't know what happened to me, but I let things move me. God doesn't move me, but I want him to move me from this point on. Maybe you're really in a right relationship with God, but you're moved by more than what you see than what you know by faith. And you say, tonight I'm making a covenant and a commitment to not walk by sight, but to walk by faith. Pray for me, Pastor, because I'm going to make that commitment tonight. You're already born again, but you want to make that commitment. If that's you, just hold your hand up to Jesus, not to me. Yeah, lots of hands going up. Amen. Come on, everybody, lift your hands up. Everybody, lift your hands up. Why am I asking you to do that? It's a sign of surrender. It's a sign of great faith. Did you know that the Hebrew expression of faith was a hand extended to God? They gave up all natural, earthly, fleshly strength and gave it all to God. And they began to speak the word. So right now, I just speak the word over every person in this place. And I say they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. Hallelujah. And as we prepare for Christmas, as we prepare to be with family, help us, God, not just to eat spaghetti. Help us, God, not just to sit and watch a sunset. Help us, God, not just to go about our day, but to be bound with the Holy Spirit and to know that you speak through us, you act through us, you work through us. Move upon us, Father, tonight, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can I ask some altar ministers to come around the front? Just a few of you to come, because there were people that raised their hand and you may need that prayer. And so I want us to pray with you directly. So if you'd be so kind, before you go that way, just come this way. Let us agree with you, believe God with you, that you can receive Christ or recommit to Christ. There's something about agreement prayer. Jesus said, where 2 or 3 agree, touching anything, it shall be done. And I believe that that will seal the deal. So seal the deal tonight before you leave. Don't let any uncertainty kind of hang out in your mind's thinking, but give it all to Jesus, all right? We love you. We appreciate you. 2 things I want to tell you. December 24th, 7 p.m., Christmas Eve service. I'll be preaching Sunday a message that I think is going to be pretty powerful. It's called Ceasefire. And that'll be this Sunday. And then also the 11th of January, 12th of January, 13th of January is the worship gathering. Momentum is building. I heard the radio commercial. It's off the hook. It is really awesome. We also had opportunity and favor shown to us to get 1 hour free on 1220 a.m. believe Pastor Leon and Jason Upton is going to call in. We're going to talk about that. But you need to be a part of this. The 11th will be in here. And yeah, here. And that'll be Pastor Leon ministering. I forget who else is going to minister. I think Troy. And then Saturday night in Lorraine, that'll be me. And all during the day, there'll be some classes and teachings and all of that. I had a young man email me. You know, you guys can play, but I had a young man email me today. You know what he said? I've been writing music for 10 years. Nobody knew it. Nobody really cared. But I really feel like I had a talent. And I heard Pastor Leon say, even if you have never done it before, but you want to do it, come see me. He has an appointment with Pastor Leon. He was so happy. He said, I've learned that I've got a gifting that I didn't even know. Don't miss that Saturday. Then Sunday morning, Will Ford, one of the most powerful teachers on prayer and intercession. You're going to love that. He's also shipping that prayer kettle. Now that's costing us an extra $200. That thing is heavy to get it here. But we want you to see it. It's the actual kettle that the slaves used when they prayed in the slave house so they wouldn't be hurt. Let me tell you something. There's some anointing on the objects. And I believe that thing's got an anointing. That's Sunday morning. Then Sunday night. Don't miss it. It's going to be in Lorraine. I want everyone to be here. If you want, I'll get a bus and I'll take you. If you want a bus, I'll get buses. But let me tell you something. Don't miss Jason Upton concert. I want our church to be there. I don't want all the folks out there I don't even know to show up. I want you to be there. And I want you to get your ticket right away. Okay? So plan on that. Amen? Live right, love everybody. Pray hard. We'll see you on Sunday morning. Okay? Those of you that raise your hand, come on. Let me shake your hand. You raise your hand. Come on. Let me pray with you. Thank you, sweetheart. Anybody else?